one shot at a time.
Welcome back to the Enjoy the Walk podcast, guys. We are at it here. It's PGA West week. The Amex is out there as we speak. You guys are listening to this episode on Thursday. So the pros are out and about at the course where I got my absolute lunch and dinner handed to me the first round and got some redemption on the last day, which I'm excited to get into. Dante, I know you weren't out there, but dude, I really, really wish you had the opportunity to see these courses and understand how tough they were, because what I'm about to dive into, I think, is either people are going to look at it one of two ways. People are going to be like, wow, your game's trash. Or people are going to be like, that course is absolutely a beast and a bear, which I don't know. The pros are going to make it look easy this week.
Yeah. And that's why I'm interested to dive into this too, because I've seen you, I've played with you a few times. I've seen you, like, I know your game, you know, your plus handicap, what, plus two?
Sitting at a plus 2.3.
Okay.
Going so into the offseason.
Index plus. Yeah, yeah. You're always supposed to raise it. Or your case. Yeah. Yeah. You're supposed to raise your handicap. You never want to lower it going into the winter months, because that's a different story. But, you know, plus two, I've seen you come on the my course playing the tips right out the gate. I think you, what, shot one under? I mean, never touched the course, never seen it. No one really gave you any tips. You just kind of pointing in and just kind of went with it. So I've seen
you
play.
You were supposed to be my caddy, and then that lost steam.
It is what it is. But you held your own. We played at Atlantic City Country Club. Same thing, kind of going in there blind, whatnot, seeing you basically manage the course, no problem. You go out west, you know, PGA West, and I looked at the numbers the first day and kind of I had to like second look and text both you guys and be like, yo, the hell happened? So
I'll tell you what happened. And we aforementioned it on the previous podcast. And obviously looking into it here, we're going to dive into it, but I simply realized and learned a very valuable lesson on this trip. When you put the clubs down in November and don't pick them back up again more than once in 2 months, and then try and get yourself tournament golf ready. 2 days is not near enough to get yourself in a groove, to get yourself in a mindset to play tournament golf, and especially tournament golf at one of the most pristine, challenging golf courses in the Palm Springs area, and that's TPC Stadium course at PGA West. So
yeah, and I think another thing I think it's just tough too is, like, you know, you're going out there representing the brand, you're playing a tournament at the same time, mm-hmm. you know, you're going out to have fun and experience a course that you've never played before. And you could probably ask yourself, you know, before we even heard about this, you think you'll ever get yourself out and play that course? And you probably say absolutely not, because I mean, there's just so many courses that you can really try and cross off your list.
Right.
And this is one that you were able to cross off your list. So I mean, besides like that aspect of it, and we all understand prepping for tournament golf is much needed than just, you know, grinding at the office for the winter months and then just, you know what, pulling the clubs out of the closet and hop but on a plane and going and playing some golf. But how is the course itself? I mean, we've seen some visuals, we've seen some drone shots. I mean, playing it, like, I mean, it's just amazing, because most of it was surrounded by just these desert mountains, kind of like in these valleys.
Like, I'm telling you right now, we drove in to the Palm Springs area at nighttime. And we drove out early in the morning as the sun rose. So when we drove in, I didn't know what to expect, because it was just pitch black. When I woke up the next morning, made my coffee, stepped outside of the apartment. We weren't even on the property at PGA West yet. I stepped out of the apartment, kind of just looked to my left, looked to my right, and I was like, am I on Mars? Like, I felt like I woke up in a different planet. Palm Springs out there as just a whole community, as a whole town, is incredible if you've never been there before. For as far as the eye can see, all you see are these just massive mountain ranges of like desert mountains, right? It's incredible. And then when you're driving to PGA West, I started taking some pictures, and Trent Feltz, who was obviously kind of my chauffeur all week long, I took a picture, and Trent goes, now you're going to want to wait to take a picture. It gets better. And then we took a few more, you know, right and left turns. And I thought, oh, this has got to be the spot. You know, the flowers started popping up, really got green, some palm trees, awesome little kind of roundabout where all this beautiful stuff was happening. So I took a picture there. And Trent goes, you're still going to want to wait. It gets better. And then finally, we kind of go down this straightaway. You see some polo fields, right? You know, with the horses and the guys swinging the sticks on the ground. That's at polo fields, like really nice, like polo fields. You know, you're in a very affluent neighborhood, affluent town when you see polo fields.
yeah, so you don't see two polo fields very often.
No, sir. And then we take another left turn, right? And then all of a sudden, you see, and I think Eric Hoskinson, the director of the Palm Springs Golf Championship, did a phenomenal post of it, which had been Monday, on his personal page and on the Palm Springs Golf Championship page on Instagram. So, guys, go check that out, and see, you'll see what I'm talking about. It's a drone shot of the entrance to PGA West. There's these two just grand, massive stone signs, and it says PGA West on it, and they're lit up well. They got water running off of them. There's flowers everywhere, palm trees in front and behind all of them. And that's when you make this turn and you enter kind of the aura that is PGA West. From that moment on, you feel like you're a member at the most private of private clubs. And you're going to a course that's open to the public 365 days of the year, other than when the Amex is there. You know, like, you can go play this course. And it was just incredible from the experience of like I had nerves it just driving down this road. And I'm like, I haven't even put a club in my hand yet. This, like, it, the place was so pristine that, like, you felt bad taking a divot out of the practice range. It was so good.
Ooh, I've been to some courses like that before. And when I first started playing, you know, getting invited to some of these nice courses, and you just look at the terrain and you're just sitting there and you're looking at the fairways, and it's just so smooth to the fact you are afraid to take a divot. That says a lot, especially about course conditions.
It truly does. And then obviously from that moment forward, everything just continued to get better. Obviously played the stadium course blind. Our practice round was on the Nicklaus course the day before on Saturday, on Sunday. Flew in on Saturday, got there on Sunday. The Nicklaus course. So they just redid the greens at the Nicklaus course. And we'll get into that as well later in this show when we talk to obviously the director of PGA West and kind of how they go about doing the work around this place to keep it as the architects intended on playing the course. But they just redid the greens on the Nicklaus course with a new kind of grass, and it gives them ability basically to play them extremely firm and extremely fast. When I kid you, it was almost impossible to even spin a wedge. They were that firm. On the Nicklaus course. So borderline, the Nicklaus course played tougher than the stadium course because of just the receptibility of the greens. But dude, I mean, you talk about incredible layout on both courses, Nicklaus and stadium course, were just downright treats to play.
So what kind of like terrain are we looking at for the course layouts in both of them? I mean, all right. So you're in the desert, right? You got these desert mountains. It's kind of like almost you're in these desert bowls, like that. It's like you're so secluded, almost like in a bubble. And then you play so you see all these mountainous terrain. So you're like, all right, well, is it flat land? Is it like very like hilly? Like what were the terrain of the course, like of each course? Is it flat, long? Like
you right now, it is not as flat as the desert. They did some serious groundwork to build these courses up. Stadium course in particular, from tee to green, I mean tee to fairway and then fairway to green, has a good bit of undulation on it, like enough to really make a distance on some tee shots, and enough to really make some difference on some approach shots too, like making you club up, making you club down. There was a lot of undulation going on, and it kind of takes you by surprise the first time you walk around it. Like, you think you're in the desert, you think, how in the world can a course in the desert have this much, you know, slope difference? And especially stadium, there's a lot of it, which was actually pretty shocking to me.
Jeez. Now, were the greens big, small, undulated, or?
So that's what was cool about kind of talking to you know, the tournament director, the guy that runs everything out at PGA West. They're restoring these greens because over time they've gotten smaller. They've kind of condensed because of people playing bunker shots, you know, poor maintenance, maybe, I don't know, but they've kind of gotten, the greens have gotten smaller over the years. So that's why they redid the greens on the Nicklaus course. And actually after the Amex is there this year, they're redoing all the greens on the stadium course as well to restore them to their full, you know, their full size. Now, I'm not saying they're small by any means because they're still pretty large greens. And I think that's the other hidden, you know, I guess you could call teeth of the course at TPC or at stadium course at PGA West is there is a massive slope difference in a lot of these greens. There's tiers there. There's big undulations going on that really make you pay for missing it, even on the wrong spots of some of these greens.
So we're looking at, like, if I can kind of paint a picture here for like my sake, you take running deer. Are we taking their size with that undulation, or is it like, you know, maybe half the size or like three quarters of the size with like that kind of undulation, or maybe a little less?
So, I mean, the way you're looking at it, I think is running deer a little smaller greens, but similar amount of undulation. So for the folks that may not have played running deer, obviously Ron Jaworski course out there in New Jersey, they're massive greens. So stadium course doesn't quite have those massive of greens, but it's pretty close. A lot of the par fives have some massive greens. Two of the par threes have some massive greens. But overall, dude, and I think what set the tone, we originally were asking the question, why did I struggle so much on the first day? I hit my first tee ball out of bounds, had to re-tee. And
that's not always
that
a great start.
Rattled me, dude. It rattled me to the point I never really recovered. It rattled me bad.
Yeah. I mean, that's always tough because it like we've said before, it's tough going on. So you're playing tournament golf, but you're also kind of going on a golfcation at the same time. Mm-hmm. And it's always tough going to a destination to play like this unbelievable golf course, not really knowing the layout, not knowing really knowing the terrain at all, or how firm the greens are, how the brakes are working, how the speed is and whatnot. And then you're like, oh shit, I need to go out and try and score low rather than just go out and enjoy myself. But at the same time, you're trying to enjoy yourself. It's very difficult. I don't care who you are to go out and play a course blind, especially on a golfcation and especially on a tournament aspect. So I can see where that can be rattling, because especially when you're paying money to go on these types of vacations and playing these tournaments. I mean,
the
you're
crazy
going
cool
to,
thing is too, right? We didn't tough. Play it. We didn't play it from like the whites or the blue.
No,
we played it all the way back. Actually, in a couple instances, we played it from longer than what the pros are going to be playing it. And that was the best thing about the Palm Springs Golf Championship. We're there 2 weeks before the pros are going to play it. Typically, in non-COVID times, all the stands are up, but all the signage was still up. All the American Express signs were up. The TV towers were starting to go up on our last day of play at stadium. It's a professional feel. So, I mean, you put tournament golf in with FedEx Cup playoffs sitting right beside you on most of all the tee boxes, there's a little intimidation factor there as well. And stadium course being a Pete Dye course too, forces your hand in a lot of tee shots to make you think that you have to guide the ball in areas that you really don't.
Yeah.
So it was a really great test of golf the first day, especially seeing the course blind, you know, for the first time. But even shooting 88, I had a blast. Like, it was one of the most enjoyable 88 rounds of golf because I was almost in awe of how pristine the golf course was.
Yeah, you're like, is this kind of like, is this real life moment? Like, how am I'll say it again. It just baffles me when you look at the photos and you look at the videos and you look at the stories of kind of where you're at. Like, you're in this desert area, and then there's videos of you walking up the fairway with Trent and all of them. And it's just this amazing golf course. I mean, it's just that you're out there to meet people. You're out there to have fun. You're out there to kind of play some golf. And like, granted, like you want to win and you want to play well. But like you said, there's just so much more that goes into it than like that 88. It's whatever.
Well, and it's funny too, right? Because you shoot 88 the first day, and the classic saying, you can't win a golf tournament on the first day, but you sure can lose it. I mean, I lost it after the first day. There was no coming back from that. The leader shot 2 under and 1 under respectively for first and second place after the first day. You know, and that's the other cool thing about the Palm Springs Golf Championship. There's some legitimate sticks that played in this tournament. Mitchell something. One of the captains for UPenn golf men's golf team was out there playing in it. He shot 2 under the first day, was tied for the lead. So, I mean, it's people like that that actually like make this amateur tournament a legitimate test of golf, where if you don't play well, you're going to pay for it. And it's just so cool, man. It was so much fun to understand, like, hey, if you want to win this thing, you got to play great golf and almost tour level golf to actually contend for this championship. And I think that's also what makes the Palm Springs Golf Championship really special. And I'm excited to see it grow over the next few years.
Yeah, that's awesome to see, man. I'll tell you what, I'll be out there next year for sure. So not missing that one again, because I really would like to test my skills in that golf course. Cause I mean, it just looks amazing. I mean, I was in awe just looking through a damn screen through my phone, looking at the live coverage that you were able to post.
Well, and I truly hope we did a good job. Trent and myself did a good job of at least getting our fans inside the access of what PGA West and the Palm Springs Golf Championship is all about. I mean, that's the other cool thing about Palm Springs Golf Championship is when you are in this tournament, you have access to everything at PGA West. And the hospitality and the folks that work at PGA West make you feel like from the minute you step on the grounds and open your car door, like you're a member there. They make you feel like a personal member. And I think that's the by far coolest thing about the entire experience.
That and the fact that it almost felt as if you were like a touring member at the same time too, the way it's set up. I mean, you're showing spots of the range, you're walking up, everything was just perfect pyramids. I mean, the range looked flush perfectly. I mean, it just seems like they did everything that they would cater to a full-fledged member, along with the full-fledged PGA member, that you got to experience that. You're not experiencing, like, you know, this great golf course and meeting all these people and playing in this tournament. You're also experiencing kind of the tour lifestyle just a little bit.
Yeah. And I think the coolest thing too, and Don Zahner, who we're going to talk to here in a little bit on the podcast, the resort manager for the tournament courses, he kind of mentioned this too. He's come from some other really prestigious clubs, right? And bringing the mentality of, you know, treat everyone like they're a member, you know, is one of the key facets to how they are so successful. And I think, you know, he mentioned it, and I think it really bleeds true of they take pride in treating every single person that steps on that property like they belong. And I think that can go, you know, far past the walls of PGA West as far as how you should treat people and how people deserve to be treated. It's just, it was such a cool experience. There was no one that made you feel out of place, no matter who you were. It was just overall phenomenal. Like, I have nothing but fine words to say for the people out there that work at PGA West day in and day out.
That's awesome, man. I'm glad you had one hell of a time, played on some sick ass courses, but damn, I'm coming for that place next year.
And you know what's funny too? You talk about it, right? Like, not even just the tournament golf. Obviously, things were limited this year as far as after round events with the Palm Springs Golf Championship, but we were still able to get out after the second day, play a little two-man scramble, kind of shuffle names in a hat, pull it out, high handicappers in one hat, low handicappers in another hat, pull out names, and there's your partner for a little two-man scramble.
I mean,
at the La Quinta Mountain Course, that was almost as fun as the other 3 days of tournament golf.
I was about to say, and I think that's what makes this so special, is the fact that you're going out, you know, you're meeting people, you're playing these new courses you probably have never touched foot on, some haves, and then, you know, and what was cool is sometimes you see these tournaments and, you know, you're playing at the middle of the day, right? And they're really, you know, sun goes down pretty early, so you don't really have much. But all the tee times were like early in the morning. Next thing you know, you're done and you still have the rest of the day. And what I thought was the coolest part of it is the fact that you just said that, and even seeing kind of like the stories and all that, and even the emails coming out from the event itself is, hey, we're gonna get whoever wants to play some more, we're gonna go over this course and we're gonna play this other little, maybe a little money wager game, a team game or whatnot, who's in? And next thing you know, everybody's signing up.
Yeah, 100%. And it was one of those cool things too, where like it didn't matter that it was a high handicapper and a low handicapper together. Everyone was like, I cannot wait to play in this. And that was the cool thing. Like sometimes I feel like people get the stigma of like, oh, I can't play with you because you're so good. And it's like, no, we can play a format in which makes it fun for everyone. And it was so cool. Like not only was it high handicapper and low handicapper as a team, we each had this like throw where if you got in a bad spot, you could throw it into a better spot or like throw it onto the green. And then the other cool thing was we played this format was if you had a birdie putt and you both make it, it's an eagle. So like if you both drain a 10, 15 footer for birdie, you know, usually in a scramble, only one of you needs to make it and you pick up. Well, if both of you made it, you actually got an eagle instead of a birdie. And
See,
it was
that's
just
what's
like little
great
things like
too,
that that made it
because
so fun.
yeah, because sometimes it's tough playing scramble events because sometimes you don't feel like you're playing golf. You're just kind of, if you're not the one that's, you know, whether you're the better player or you're not, you know, you're like the higher handicap player, it doesn't really matter. Whoever's hot that day is usually you're kind of just riding their coattails. But that, like you're saying right there, is like, oh, you know, I actually have an opportunity to do something for the team and get a feel for that hole and like actually make it like count for myself individually and team wise. So I mean, that's a, you know, I like the, so what was the throw aspect? Like what was that
All
rule?
right, so perfect example here, right? So on a hole, my partner hit a really good drive. I hit a 3-wood into a greenside bunker on a par 5. I was able to throw my ball from the greenside bunker up onto the green, not counting a stroke. So we had a putt for eagle on the green instead of an eagle shot from the bunker.
So it didn't even cost a stroke. You just were
No,
like,
it does
oh,
not cost a stroke. Yep. So
kind of
that
like
was
a good old foot wedge in a way.
a good old high handicapper foot wedge, exactly.
Yeah.
But it made it interesting because you only get one. So you had to be kind of meticulous. All
Oh,
right,
one
how many?
throughout the round.
Yeah. So how many holes do we have left? Are we in a good spot? Should we use it now or should we save it for later? Like you had to kind of, you know, mentally figure out where you wanted to use it. And we felt like the par 5 was the best area to make it, and we did. We ended up making eagle on that hole.
So do you have to
So
like throw however you want, or were there rules on how you have to
So,
like
no, throw it however you want. I threw it with a little backhanded like spin because I
just
was in a
like, yeah.
bunker and it was way above me. So I felt like if I threw it overhand, it was gonna way roll off the green. So I didn't quite get it to spin, but I didn't have it roll out on me either. It kind of landed like finished up about 10 feet from the hole and we made
I
the
was going
birdie.
to say, yeah, how was your toss and how was the outcome? So I'm assuming
It
it was
was
pretty good.
good. It was worse than I expected, but also better than I expected. If that makes sense. When's the last time you've actually thrown a golf ball for like closest to a hole? Usually you're just tossing it to a buddy, like, oh, give me my provisional back. All right, toss to a buddy or throwing a buddy another ball because he needs one because he has blasted one OB. So, like, when's the last time you actually thought about how precise you're throwing a golf ball?
The only time, not necessarily a golf ball, but playing bocce ball on the beach, it's the only time I can remember actually. Let me see if I can take this ball and like gently toss it in the air to get it to stop close to the target itself. So
It was
that's
tons of
funny.
fun, man. It was an
Yeah.
absolute blast. Yeah, it was a cool way to break up the monotony of the entire evening, you know, and just kind of say, hey, we're not done with golf for today. You know, we still got some more to play. And that was the fun of it too. I played at least 18 holes of golf every day. 3 out of the 5 days, 27 holes.
Yeah, that's insane. And some rain sessions too, I
Oh, th
saw.
there was one day, actually right after the 88. I told Trent and I told Eric, I said, gentlemen, it was, you know, I'm happy to be here. I really am appreciative of being in this tournament. I'm going to go get a chicken sandwich and a transfusion and go hit balls until I get to the bottom of a pyramid. And that's what I did. I hit balls until my hands fell off, and they basically ripped the pyramid out from under me because they were closing the range.
I mean, what else really, like you said, I mean, during COVID times, you really can't do much in most of these states, so you might as well. You said, hey, you know, I travel all the way out here. Let me make the best of it actually on the golf course, and it seems like that's what you did.
You and I talked about it. That was our game plan even when we were going out together. Yeah, you know, it was golf, like eat, sleep, and golf, dude. Eat, sleep, and golf. And that's what we did. And I think that was so much fun. And I'll be honest, being that it was eat, sleep, and golf, I walked every round other than the two-man scramble and the practice round. It was a grind. I'll be honest, I haven't slept that good in a long time. I put at least 6 miles on the feet every day.
Yeah, that's a lot, especially kind of going from one extreme to the next of not playing golf to like, I'm just going to play every day for like 7 straight days and walk almost at least 18 holes a day.
You got a hilarious picture, and maybe we'll post it as a kind of a joke and say, this is what PGA West does to the amateur golfer. But I passed out, absolutely passed out after the first day. Close to the fetal position in this small little chair at our condo. Dude, I'm telling you, it was the first time I had walked that much golf in a while, you know, being cold here on the East Coast and not getting out much. PGA West did a number on the hoofs for me this
week. I was cracking up because Trent texted me and said, I see this photo pop up, and I said, what is this? And here you are, like curled in the fetal position almost on a lazy boy chair with the kickstand out, and you were just out. And he's like, this guy can sleep anywhere. I said, yep. I said, as soon as Dalton's out, the man is out. And that just kind of goes to show. I mean, you were just living it and just taking advantage of all the opportunities that you can, playing as much golf as you can. And that's what you do, especially when you go on a golf specific destination where it is golf is the main focus. You're there to golf, and you're going, you know, you're just like, you're gonna say, body, guess what, we are going to golf our asses off and we're gonna pass out when we get back. So hey, that was awesome to see. So you can't complain there. So I would be doing the same thing.
It was a ton of fun, man. It was an absolute blast. And we talked about it too, which we're about to get into here with Don Zahner. People come out there to Palm Springs and the Palm Springs area, whether it's to the private courses or to the public courses out there. And that's what they are there to do. There is not much else to do unless you have a swimming pool back at your place to maybe relax in afterwards, other than just play golf. So that's what makes Palm Springs so special, is that's the allure. That's what you're there to do. You wake up and you play golf from sun up to sundown. And then, you know, even a little after, as we talked about with the lights at Indio, playing some, a little bit of, I guess, quote unquote, Muni Madness. Obviously we weren't allowed to play Muni Madness this year because of the, you know, the COVID restrictions and stuff like that, but carrying the clubs out at the lights at Indio too was another outlet to play golf after the sun went down.
And I don't know why, like, we didn't even talk about this, but how the hell was it playing under the lights? How awesome of an experience was that?
Okay, so
you like it?
Trippy for the first two holes, right? Because you can see, depending on where the lights hit you, a little shadow in your backswing, right? Like that you're not used to seeing. It's not like a sun shadow. It's like a casted, cool, you know, blown, false, yeah. but really cool, dude. An absolute blast. When you watch the golf balls go off the tee, and especially if you're hitting at the same time as someone, dude, it's like tracer rounds from a gun going off.
I was about to say,
and then it disappears into the light, and then you pick it back up as it hits the green. It's, dude, it's an absolute blast. I suggest an experience for anyone because it's par three course, so you don't got to take the drivers. You take maybe like 6 irons and a putter, and you're good.
That's another bucket list here. I've seen a bunch of videos on YouTube of them playing guys are playing actually like full 18 hole rounds, like full like 75 yard 100 courses. That seems like a lot of fun. I think that's probably the coolest thing, is as soon as you hit the ball, there's like a tracer with it the entire way.
Oh, for sure. And the best thing about it too, and I think the funniest thing is, they closed the lights on us at 9, so we were wrapping up our last hole, and as the putts were rolling to the green, the lights shut off. So like
just pitch black.
Just pitch black. It was absurd to see, like, all of a, you had this golf course that was just vibing, right? Like every hole had two groups on it, at least, you know, one of the green, one of the tee, vice versa. Every hole was packed. And then all of a sudden the lights go out and you just see this vibrant golf course just go done. And it was this crazy contrast. It was so much fun. It was another place that just, I think, put in perspective how crazy vibing the game of golf is right now. The place was packed from amateurs to like actual, like sticks, like plus handicaps. I could see we're out there too. The range was packed. It was epic experience.
Just kind of shows. And if you got to take some positivity out of like these past, you know, past year and into these, you know, first month of the year, I mean, golf is really taking off. And I think we're getting a lot of new golfers into the mix, realizing like, you know, wow, like this is a lot of fun, but it, like, the, I guess you can say the stereotype is just a stereotype. That's not necessarily the case. And I think that's what's great about it too. And the fact that you're even getting like avid golfers learning new aspects about the game and getting a new perspective of the game, like taking like avid riders and then they're getting push carts and decided, let me walk 18 holes and see how that is. And they're like, wow, like this is something I actually want to do. Like when I go and play golf, like I'm going to save some money and I'm going to go actually out and walk a golf course and get some exercise. And it's just more therapeutic. And now you got guys who've never touched a golf club buying golf clubs. I mean, it's just awesome to see, and it's, I mean, it can't be any better.
No, it can't. And it's just so cool too, to see those people first picking up the game, you know, obviously coming out to the par three courses and having aspirations of playing these phenomenal golf courses. So, you know, with that being said, we're going to get to our interview here with Don Zahner, the resort manager out at PGA West. Excited to let you guys in on the experience out at PGA West, what Don feels like makes them kind of set apart from the rest of the, you know, resorts out in the industry, and some special things that they're working on out at PGA West, especially with the American Express coming there this week. So guys, without further ado, Don Zahner, resort manager out at PGA West. All right, guys, welcome back to the Enjoy the Walk podcast, here with Don. Appreciate the time. I know we're out here at PGA West. I've gotten to play the stadium course, gotten to play the Nicklaus tournament course. You guys have a special piece of property here. What do you do here at the course that just kind of really takes up a lot of your time?
Well, I'm the resort general manager over all five golf courses, and this is where I office out. This golf course is a very busy golf course. It's two of the best golf courses in the desert, and we're a destination spot. So what takes up most of my time, making sure my team is on it and making sure the guests have the best experience possible.
Awesome. Yeah, I know, you know, stepping on the property here Sunday, playing three different rounds of quote-unquote tournament golf with the Palm Springs Golf Championship, I felt like a member since the moment I stepped here, and I'm sure that's something you guys strive to accomplish. When you guys aren't having the pros here, which we're expecting to have them here with the American Express here in the next 2 weeks, what does your day-to-day look like? How many folks do you usually see come through the property and play?
Depending on the time of the year with sunlight hours, it varies, but right now in January, February, we're going to see at least 200 golfers per day on each golf course, so 400 golfers a day. Plus, we have a wonderful restaurant here where many neighbors or people just come here to enjoy the restaurant. So you could see, well, over 600-700 people here a day just coming in and out, coming in to buy merchandise, have some food, or play golf.
Very cool. Very cool. You know, so a little bit less about the property and more about yourself. I know before we hopped on the podcast here, you were talking about you're an East Coast guy, a Long Island guy. What brought you within the industry to end up here out at PGA West?
Well, it's funny. I played college golf and got into the business as an assistant golf professional. But in my heart, all I really loved to do was be around golf, but on the business end of it. And when you're managing a facility, it's really all about managing people, because we have so many people here. And if you can manage people correctly, and if you're a strong leader, you can see huge success, not only financially, but at a property that's an image in the area, that's the place you need to come to, and a destination of golf. And that's something that attracted me to a big property like this, and in the industry, this is where I wanted to be.
Very cool. I know that I don't think it gets much bigger than PGA West. How many courses do you guys have out here that's part of the PGA West property now?
So we have a total of 9 golf courses out here. 4 are on the private side, and the five are the resort golf courses. And I oversee the five resort golf courses, with which has three clubhouses.
Wow, awesome. Talk us through how folks can maybe come out here and become a part of PGA West and play these properties, you know, whether it's traveling from the East Coast out to the West, or even, you know, locally here in the PGA West Palm Springs area. How can folks maybe go about booking a tee time online or in person and really experience what you guys have to offer out here?
Well, you could do it many ways. Obviously, if you go to our website, you could book a tee time right there online. But we're always taking phone calls too. You'll be called right to the golf shop and they'll make sure you get set up with the best rate at the best time you want to play. So it's really easy to come out here and play.
So how long have you been out here, and then what does it look like, I guess, how has it changed since you've stepped into the role here, and how do you expect it to change moving forward into 2021 and beyond?
Well, I've been with the company for a very long time, since 2003, and our company, Century Golf, has picked up these properties in February of this year. And the nice thing is, we want to not only, we have the stadium courses in the top 100, but we used to have four courses in the top 100. We want to get back there. Mm-hmm. So the owners are putting a lot of money back into the property. And it's not just about money, but it's also about the team. It's about what we represent and who we are and our image. So there's a big campaign going on to have the best golf courses possible, to have an amazing image, and to be a destination spot on the West Coast for golf. And that's what we're working on. And that's the biggest change from over the years here.
Sure. And I know playing the Nicklaus tournament course out here, I know you guys just went about redoing the greens out there. The plan is to do the same on the stadium course after the guys wrap it up here on the tour in 2021. What is that going to look like, and how is that going to help people in their overall experience once these greens are redesigned and back to what you would call, I guess, superb?
Sure. So back in 1986, when Pete Dye built the stadium course, and of course Jack Nicklaus built this course here, the greens were very large, I should say. And over the years, and that's many, how many years is that? 30 years or so? The greens shrink. It just happens that, you know, the different mowing patterns, the sand gets thrown up on the greens, and the greens really change. Mm-hmm. So when we went out and did the Nicklaus greens, the greens almost grew by 30%. And the same thing is going to happen on the stadium course. And it's not that we're growing the greens, we're just putting them back to the original design from the designers. And it will make a difference. Some of the professionals that have come out to play practice rounds have been on the Nicklaus course, and they noticed. They said, what did you do? They're so different than they used to be. But they're back to the original design, which is great, because you want to keep these two golf courses exactly how the designers designed them. And to this day, even though they were designed back in 1986, they are still some of the toughest golf courses you could play in America.
Well, and I can only imagine you had mentioned sort of the infinity pool style greens is what you want to get stadium back to. That's going to be punishing if you can achieve that and really, I guess, up the difficulty on that course, because it's already a bear from tee to green. When you guys implement that going forward, I can only imagine it really playing tougher for these guys, especially the pros that come out here and try to win a championship.
Yeah, you know, I agree. I know when you look at the history of the property, when this was built back in 86 and they had the first tournament out here, all the PGA Tour players thought it was too tough and they had a petition to take it off the tour. And they actually did take it off the tour for many years. Now it's back. But it's back, but the technology has changed too. But these golf courses are still very tough. But the tour players really love these golf courses now.
Well, I tell you, for my first time seeing the property, it absolutely ate my lunch and dinner. So it's still a very challenging golf course, even with modern technology. I want to dive into that history for a little bit here. You talk about the 1986 of it being, initially designed and for the pros to play. Who has maybe came here and won championships in the past and really slated their legacy as a good tour player through this property?
Well, it's funny to say, I mean, obviously Phil Mickelson has won this tournament, and he's part of the event now. Mm-hmm. He's a tournament like chairperson for the event, and it's so great to have him here. So he's been a strong leader at this golf course. But when you talk about the history here too, you know, back in 87, I believe it was, they had the skins game here. Mm-hmm. And the famous shot was Lee Trevino in Alcatraz, where actually there was a lot of skins on the line, and he holed out for a hole-in-one. So when you talk about a history, you know, I think about the skins game that they had here back in the day, and that is one of the best shots you'll ever see.
I can only imagine, obviously playing the stadium course twice while I've been in the area here, that rock that's got Trevino's picture and the story behind it is just iconic, I believe, especially as you see the rock and then kind of put your head over the hill and really see the daunting task ahead of you. It's an incredible shot that I think will forever be cemented in the history of the game.
Oh, absolutely. You know, so this does have a long history, and the greatest thing is when you walk into the clubhouse, along the wall you can see the whole timeline, the history of what has taken place and the people that won it. And also every person that has won it, they get a brick in the clubhouse with their name on it. And they actually now get to choose where they want their brick to be. So you could see it as a long history going all the way back to the Bob Hope Classic. And we're just going to keep the history moving forward.
I love it. Now, speaking of this year's championship, obviously a little different with everything going on in the world right now. You guys are doing a phenomenal job, as we've been able to see, of really tending to the conditions and what we're dealing with and still making it seem normal for these guys in the lack of patrons and things like that. So talking to the field this year, you've had a lot of big commitments. What's the expectations rolling forward into this year's championship?
Well, the expectation, because there has been a lot of changes, like you noted, due to COVID-19, there are no longer amateurs here. So it changed quite a bit. Instead of using three golf courses, we're using two golf courses. And it also has helped bring a stronger field into play. Some players now like this format, and we've seen a little bit stronger field. So what we're excited about is, although it's sad that there's no spectators and the amateurs are not going to be here, we're very excited about having a format that's similar to most of the regular tours, very similar to what happens at Torrey Pines with two golf courses. And I think the players are very excited about it too, because you're going to start to see pin placements that they'd never seen before. When we have the amateurs out, they don't really make the pins very, very difficult because they want play to move along. But now there's an opportunity out here to do things differently. You could move tee boxes. You could put pins where you've never seen them before. And I'm hoping, and I don't set the pins, but I'm really hoping that the PGA Tour does some exciting things out here we haven't seen before and make this golf course even a little bit more tougher than what it was before.
Well, boy, I tell you what, we played the stadium course, as I mentioned today, with the Palm Springs Golf Championship. There were some pins out there that I'd like to have a conversation with the greenskeepers, because they were pretty tough and very, very subtle to read, but made it very tough to make even the shortest of putts out there. So excited to see those little bit of changes. Don, moving forward to, you know, post-2021 and getting back into the mix of things, what are yourself as a resort general manager kind of looking forward to, some new things to unveil, maybe even moving forward?
Well, hopefully we get out of this. This would be the last year where we had to make changes to the event. But looking forward to next year, you know, one thing we always wanted to do is make this one of the best events, you know, outside of a major. And that includes having a concert on the driving range. It includes what there is to offer here, not only at these two courses, but all our other golf courses at PGA West. Because you could come here, you could play those golf courses, and you come back in the afternoon to see the event. Mm-hmm. So we're hoping in the future to make this more of a destination spot for golf, and not just a golf tournament in the valley, but a place where you're going to come, bring the family, you're going to enjoy many things out here. Everything we have to offer at PGA West, not just at this clubhouse, but all the other clubhouses, and then enjoying the golf tournament. So we're looking forward to the future, that's for sure.
Absolutely. I think you guys are already doing a great job of kind of making every person that comes here feel like a member, whether it was myself or the folks I'm staying with. They've all kind of been highly commendable of all the staff here, so it's really been a treat. I commend everyone that has the chance to get out to PGA West. Come check it out. Don, appreciate the time, and looking forward to see what you guys do, not only this year with the Amex, but moving forward within the whole resort.
Great. Thank you so much. It's great having you out here.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
That's the stuff. One shot at a time.